Book of Judges. 2 weeks ago, I began to speak about the life of Samson. And we were talking about the pictures of Samson. I'll just do a quick review, and then we'll finish it, God willing, tonight. Thank you for praying for us as we traveled and had an opportunity to be in a really good meeting, a good conference, to glean a lot from the preaching, to do a little bit of preaching, but to listen to a lot, too. It was very helpful. It's all about missions, and the more that we can get that, the better. And I appreciate Pastor Nathan filling in. Everybody had a great Lord's Day. Visitors, praise the Lord for that. And just thankful for what God is continuing to do. Samson. I don't know how many of you were here 2 weeks ago when we looked at this, but you know, when we think of Samson, one of the first things maybe that comes to mind, that's why the title of this is Pictures of Samson. Many of you have different pictures in your mind of when you think of Samson. Maybe you see this big, 6 foot tall guy with bulging muscles. And you know what? I honestly don't know if he had bulging muscles. I don't think anybody really does. Quite frankly, he may have been just, you know, an average looking fellow. And then when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, you know, we know what happened. We're going to read about that. So I don't know if the picture in our mind should be, you know, this big guy or whatever, you know, maybe like Goliath. Now, we know Goliath. We know he was big because the Bible gives us his dimensions, right? It gives us his height. But with Samson, we really don't know. We just know that he did some unbelievable things. But when we have the power of God, we don't have to have, you know, that kind of... But anyway, so pictures of Samson. And we talked a little bit about it. An introduction was that his name meant sunny. And the fact that his family, they had been waiting to have a child, and then all of a sudden, now God gives them this child, and it probably did brighten up the home there. And that's what his name meant. His name meant sunny. And of course, he was born during a very dark time in the nation of Israel, and we talked a little bit about that. Now, the problem, though, is that overall in his life, we could say that Samson was very unstable, because of him. James chapter 1, verse 8 talks about a double-minded man is going to be unstable. And you know, that's something that we need to learn as well in our own life. Maybe we can see some times in our life where we were double-minded, you know, like Paul said, I want to do this, but then I do this, and I should do this, but I don't do this. Or, you know, it's just unstable. And that's how we are at times in our Christian life. And when we're unstable, it's because we're double-minded. And may we have a focused mind that is on God's word and in God's will. And whatever God has for our life, may that be what we're concentrating on. Well, with Samson, it was just kind of all over the place. And we looked at number one, that Samson was the child with an unbelievable promise. An unbelievable promise. And we said that in verse 1 of chapter 13, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. 40 years. And we know the pattern here, and this is in the time of the judges. So this is pre-Kings. You know, this is the time of the judges. And so we know that the pattern was just like this. A judge would come in and a judge would, you know, get things in order. And then they would go awry again for a period of time. And they would go back on the things of the Lord. And so, but it was a great promise. And for 40 years. And we mentioned this thought, that as far as we can see here, that there was no cry for help from the children of Israel. In fact, in Judges 15, 9 to 13, we don't have time to look at all these over again, but really they didn't really want Samson to bother. And so he had a nation to protect, he had a God to serve. And we see that in verses 2 to 5 there. Because immediately from birth, or even pre-birth, God had a plan for Samson. And it was clearly laid out. And then we said, number three, that he had a home to honor. He had a home to honor. And we see that the reason why we were mentioning that is because even though there was great bondage for 40 years, we see that Samson's father and Samson's mother, Manoah and Mrs. Manoah, that they were faithful to the Lord in the midst of this. And you know what? That encourages me. Because honestly, we don't live in a time where the mainstream of our land is, you know, all for God. And that's okay. I don't know that it's ever been that way. But even in that time where we're in right now, we can be faithful. We can stand for what is right. We can boldly, lovingly, compassionately do what is right. And it starts in our home. And so Samson had a home to honor. So number one, a child with unbelievable promise. Number two, he was a champion with this undefeatable power. This undefeatable power. And I don't remember how much of this I used the other week, a couple weeks ago. Let's just pray before I get too far into this. Heavenly Father, bless what we've already reviewed as we continue to look at the life of Samson. Would you please show us some areas of our life that might look a little bit like Samson's, and we need to make some changes. Holy Spirit of God, please help us as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at verse 24 of this chapter, please. Judges 13, 24. And the woman bare a son. That's Mrs. Manoah. We don't have her name. And called his name Samson. Sonny. Boy, our day has been brightened. We got a boy. We got a son. And the child grew, but I think we mentioned this. And the Lord blessed him. What a statement. Wouldn't you love it to be said about you that, that your parents, they had a daughter, they had a son, and the name was this, and it's your name, and you grew, and the Lord blessed you. Who wouldn't want to be blessed of the Lord? Who wouldn't want to have the blessing of God on their life? And that's exactly what it says here, that God's blessing was on him. I mean, he comes right out of the womb, and he's blessed of God. God gave Samson so much, and he gives us so much in 2019. Think about all that God has given us. He's given us all things richly to enjoy, the Bible says. But this undefeatable power, let's look at a couple of these that many of you probably know about already. Notice chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. We're going to talk about this in another way in a minute. And behold, in the vineyards, that's a key thought right there, by the way. We'll look at that in a minute. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord, look what that Spirit is, how it's spelled. Capital S. The Spirit of the Lord. Now, we know that in the Old Testament, we know that that no one was filled with the Spirit or possessed the Spirit at all times. That hadn't happened yet. But that doesn't mean there wasn't a Holy Spirit. Because we know that the Holy Spirit is what? Eternal, because the Holy Spirit is God, right? So there was a Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We know that the Holy Spirit was poured out in the New Testament. And today we walk around as believers with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit makes many scenes in the Old Testament, makes many appearances, and this is one of them here. And the Holy Spirit comes upon Samson and mightily upon him, and he rent him. He rent him. He tore this lion apart, if you will. I mean, supernatural strength. I've been to Uganda, and I've seen a lion, and I wouldn't want to give it a try. And you've been to the zoo, and you've seen Simba, right? And you wouldn't want to give it a try. But supernatural power that God gave him. I have a little bit of a take on that verse, and we're going to look at it in just a minute. But in verse 19, he killed 30 Philistines. In chapter 15, verses 3 to 5, he catches 300 foxes. Is that right? 300 foxes? And he ties torches to their tails. He breaks bonds many different times. Chapter 15, verse 14, 16, verse 9, 12, and 14. He killed 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. He picked up the city gates. Think about this. This is not a gate to keep your six-month-old from going upstairs. It's not that kind of a gate. We're talking about the gates to the city. He picks those up, chapter 16, verse 3. And then, of course, the end of his life, chapter 16 and verse number 10, or 30, he pulls down these pillars and the whole building comes down. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So he was a man with undefeatable power. This power was given to him by God. By the way, there's nothing that we cannot defeat living in the power of God. Now, I'm not talking about brute strength like this. I'm talking about that the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we have a roaring lion. He's wanting to devour you, and he's wanting to devour me. He wants to devour anyone that is living for God. But you have a sword. You may not have this supernatural power, but we have a supernatural book. We have a supernatural Holy Spirit who's living in us. The one part of the Godhead. And so this champion with undefeatable power. And then number three, and this is the last main point. We have many points under it. Unfortunately, though, Samson was a man with unreliable character. Unreliable character. We see that in chapter 14, and we're going to look at several things and look at it in just a moment. God gave Samson everything. Now think about this. When you got saved, when I got saved, God gave us His Holy Spirit. God gave us, and maybe you had a Bible before you got saved, but you have God's Word and you have God's Holy Spirit so that you can understand the Word of God. And God has given us a local church. This is not my church. This is not Anchor. This isn't the members' church. This is God's church. God's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word. He's given us a local church. He's given us the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters. I mean, think about the family of God. You know, we have burdens tonight that we're carrying. But praise the Lord. God says, cast all your care upon me and I'll care for you. And God says, in this local church, we weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We do this because we're a family. What I'm saying is, the church is a gift from God. My salvation is a gift from God. The Word of God is a gift from God. God has given us everything tonight. And if we go and ruin our life, it's not God's fault. Samson, really, when I look at Samson, my picture of Samson is wasted opportunities. I don't believe God being sovereign, knew what Samson would do. God being sovereign knows what all of us are going to do. But I don't believe that God gave Samson the task that would end prematurely in his life by pulling down those pillars when he lost his life. A man of unreliable character. It did not take Samson long to take what God had given him and basically threw it to the side. I wonder tonight as we consider what God has given us, what are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with God's Word tonight? Do you cherish God's Word? Do you hide it in your heart? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you memorize it? Do you share it? God's Word is a gift. Amen? It's a gift. Boy, cherish this book. When you're in your deepest, darkest time, go to those Psalms and read from David and go to God's Word and see the faithfulness in the New Testament. And when you're at a loss and you don't know what to do, go to the Word of God. It's a wealth of information. It's life-changing. Isn't it amazing, though, that we might have many copies of the Bible, but that we can get into times in our life where we don't read the Bible? That's taking something that God has given us and setting it to the side. The church that we have here. What are we doing with this church? How are we involved in it? So, Samson, God has given us so much and how quickly I can give it away. First thing I look at about his unreliable character is he lost his respect for his parents. He lost his respect for his parents. Chapter 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. I've always been amazed by the statement that he makes to his parents. Now, therefore, get her for me. I just stop right there. Get her for me. Wow. I don't think that's the way we should talk to our parents. Get that for me. And I mean, he's asking his parents to violate biblical principles. This was not someone he was supposed to be marrying. This is not someone he was supposed to even be considering in marriage because she was from the Philistines. Samson was not reared to marry a pagan. Hello? I'm not rearing my children to marry somebody who's unsaved. You ought not be, and we ought not be rearing our children to marry someone who is lost. And I'll go a step further, to not to marry someone that even says they're a Christian who has little or no indication of a love for God. They don't have to be a missionary. They don't have to be a pastor. They don't have to be whatever. I want my kids to be interested in people in that way that have a love for God. Samson had no business saying, "Dad, get her for me." That's not who Manoah raised Samson, reared Samson to marry, somebody from the Philistines. Notice that statement, "Get her for me." Look at verse 3. At the end of the verse, he says it again. You see it? Get her for me. That's because his parents said, "Hey, whoa, 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 whoa." Praise God for Manoah. He says at verse 3, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? Or among all my people? That thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson, what are you thinking? Why are you going to those who have no fear of God? Why are you going to those who are worshiping false gods? And why aren't you looking to find a wife amongst your brethren," meaning amongst the people of Israel? What are you thinking? Isn't it very interesting, the character of Samson, for him to say, "Get her for me," a second time, and why? You see what he says? "For she pleaseth me." You know what? That's the overwhelming thing about Samson, in my opinion, and I'll say it probably at the end as well, is that it was all about Samson. I want her, I want her, I want him. Now, that's not Samson, I'm just saying that in general. You know, this is what I want, this is what I want. But wait a minute, God had given Samson a dad and a mom to help him. And maybe I'm right now only talking to maybe about 7 to 10 kids right now that are still under the authority of dad and mom. So be it. It's worth this time. Kids, you have been given a dad and a mom to help you. None of you kids right in here right now are at the age of Samson. You're not looking for a wife or a husband yet. Okay? You got a while. But you know what? If you're 10, that could be a decade or a little more than a decade away. You'll wake up and figure out girls don't have cooties. All girls don't have cooties before 20. Let me tell you that right now. You've been given a dad and a mom who love the Lord, and not just about your future mate if God has somebody for you, but in every situation, if a dad and a mom, hey kids, if a dad and a mom say, "I don't think you should do that," you know what you need to say? "Okay, and I don't want to do that." That's exactly what Samson's daddy was saying. "Samson, you don't want to do that." Now, obviously, I believe Samson was probably an adult here. I'm just speculating. I don't think he was a teenager. So he was an adult, so Samson was going to do what Samson was going to do, and we found that to be the case. It's just interesting what God allows us to see in the Bible, you know? Have you ever thought about that? You know, a lot more happened than what we read in the Bible, right? This is just what God wanted us to know. But isn't it interesting what God wants us to see and what God shows us? Well, he shows us that Samson, he didn't respect his parents too well. This was against God's law. I'll give you some things to write down. If you're writing down, we won't turn to them, but you can look them up. Exodus 34, 12 to 16. Exodus 34, 12 to 16. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 to 3. Let's go to a New Testament passage. Hold your place there in Judges 14. And let's go to 2 Corinthians. Now, obviously, Samson wouldn't have known about 2 Corinthians. But we do. And so let me help you here a little bit. Let me let God's word help us tonight. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Everybody doing okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with who? What's the word? Unbelievers. Let's say it together. Unbelievers. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So what this tells me is never date somebody who's unsaved. Pastor, dating isn't marriage. Yeah, but you don't date somebody unless you would consider marrying them sometime down the road. I'm not saying you're going to get married after your first date, although I have been a few places at couples conferences through the years where some people dated for a very short period of time and then they got married, you know? And whatever the Lord does there, that's fine. But again, that's not what but my point is this, that the Bible's very clear here. And I lost my place. Okay. For what fellowship hath righteousness? Righteousness is talking about saved people. Okay. And what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? But by the way, let me just say something here. If one of my kids married somebody that's unsaved, I'm not disowning them. I'm just saying if, you know what, because you know what, the Bible, we need to preach the Bible, thus saith the Lord. I don't believe it is right for a saved person to marry an unsaved person. But if somebody I love very dearly ever did that, I wouldn't stop loving them. I want you to understand that. And that goes for anything, by the way. There shouldn't be anything that anyone that we love would do that we would stop loving them. Because that's against the Bible too. So don't add more onto the fuel onto the fire that if a child or somebody that you love or whatever goes away from God, don't stop loving them. Make sure, like Motel 6, the light's always on. I don't know why I said all that, but just think about it. Might need it someday. I'm saying that because in my own home, in my own family, I'm talking about my family, me, when I was a kid, two of my siblings walked away from God for a long time. But I learned something from my mom and I learned something from my dad. They were welcome at everything we did as a family. They were never shunned. And today both of them are back in church. To God be the glory. But I think if they would have been shunned, maybe that would have never happened. I don't know. I'm glad we don't have to find that out. So, yes, let's be strong on the word of God. But let's also know that even if like a Samson kind of guy was to come back and say, hey, Manoah, hey, Dad, you know, I blew it. You know, that we would love them back to the Lord. And he goes on to say, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. And so Samson, he lost his respect for his parents. Back to our text in the book of Judges. Samson, I believe, is someone who did not live by faith. I believe Samson lived by sight. 1 John 2:16 talks about the lust of the eyes. It's very clear to me that Samson had a problem with his eyes. She pleaseth me. I'm not gonna go into that, but I'm sure that Samson wasn't talking about her godliness because she was a Philistine. He had a problem with the lust of the eyes. This was against God's law. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know, here's something to think about. When we begin to long for things that God forbids, when we begin to long for things that God forbids, we are headed down a dangerous path and we are headed for trouble. Samson was more concerned with pleasing Samson than he was his dad. Samson was more concerned with pleasing Samson than he was anybody else alive. Samson lost his respect for his parents. Number two, Samson lost his Nazirite vow. Look at verse 5. Again, I said we were going to look at this again. I know we're reading the verses again, but just let's read them again and look at another little section here. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the what? Vineyards. Stop right there. What was part of the Nazarite vow? Nothing to do with grapes. Stay away from it. So why is he going in the vineyard? Why is he going into a vineyard? I'm not trying to start something or new or whatever. I'm just saying that was part of the vow. And I'm wondering, and again, this is just something to think about, okay? We're not building something here and something new, but could that lion have been a warning from God? Could have been. Yeah, God delivered him, didn't he? That's because God is gracious. He's merciful. Even when we're doing wrong, he's merciful. That's God. That's why I said about what I'm saying about our children. If they make mistakes, hey, remember, you were 12 once too. Don't compromise, but, you know, stand lovingly. But I don't know. Maybe God is saying, hey, Samson, what are you doing in the vineyard? You're not supposed to be around grapes. You know, think about our life. Think about some of the places we find ourselves. What am I doing here? You know, maybe friendships, some of our friendships. We've got to look at our friendship. Why am I around this? This person always takes me the wrong direction. Samson lost his Nazarite vow. That was one part of it. You know, I wrote this question to myself. Why would I want to be anywhere close to where God tells me not to be? You know, we're built that way, though, in the flesh, aren't we? You know, don't touch the piano. Touch the piano. Yeah, but I got within that much of the piano. This is fresh on my mind because we have this little app that our family is on, and Caleb and Abby's family are on it, and so we can see Carson, you know, all over the place, all over the time. And Caleb posted a video the other day of Carson scooting on this mantle of a fireplace. He wasn't on it. He was standing down, and there was a photo. I think it was the place where they were staying, and it was somebody's picture or something. And you could see in the video, Carson was scooting down there, and he was about to touch the photo. And his dad says, no, Carson. Carson looks back at his dad. He looks at the photo. Carson, don't look at it. He looks back at his dad. And then he patted the, I don't know why he did this, but he patted the fireplace, and he puts his hand up, and it looks like, and this is a grandpa here now. I know, you got to figure I'm a grandpa here. And it looks like he waves. I'll show you. You can see if you want, if you think I'm right. Looks like he waves at the picture, and then he walks away. Like, okay, I'm out of here. Now, that was one time that he actually did right. Whether he realized he was doing right or not, I don't know. But isn't in our nature, don't touch the piano, get as close as I can to the piano without touching it. I didn't touch it. Why would we want to even get close to it? In other words, I'm saying, why is Samson in a vineyard when he's not allowed to have grapes? Something to think about. Then all of a sudden the lion shows up. Hey, go figure. You're not supposed to be here anyway. And in God's mercy, he delivers him. So could that have been a warning, possibly? Let's keep reading. And the Spirit of the Lord, okay, keep going. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Back to the lion now that he killed, right? Okay? And he took thereof in his hands. Uh-oh, we got a problem. Not supposed to touch anything dead. That's two things. And the point I look at here is when he turned to claim his bride, he goes back into the vineyard again and eats from the carcass of the lion, and that defiles Samson. Two-thirds two-thirds of the Nazarite vow have been broken. Look, God knows, the enemy knows what path to put you on and put me on. And we want to stay away from the path. We don't want to get anywhere near it. We want to stay in the path that God has for us. Because even if we get on that path, hey, God's with us on the wrong path. You know that, right? He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So he's with us, but we're setting ourselves up. And that's exactly what I see Samson did here. Shouldn't have been in the vineyard first time or the second time. Then, second thing, look at this. Samson loses control of his tongue. He lost his Nazirite vow. He loses control of his tongue. You know what? I was looking at this and reading it. Do you realize that this riddle, I know I'm kind of assuming that we know the story. Forgive me for that, but read it, study it a little bit out. You'll see what I'm saying in verse chapter 14. This riddle that Samson gives is about his sin. I never really thought about that. He gives a riddle about his breaking of the Nazirite vow. It's almost like Samson uses his riddle within Samson's riddle was his disobedience. In other words, he uses his sin as a riddle. When I see this, I don't see a sensitivity to sin. I don't see a sensitivity in Samson's life to realize, hey, I just broke two of the three things, minimum. He's still got his hair, but I got two of these three things that I'm not even supposed to do, and I'm going to make a riddle out of it. And what happens during this time? Samson is worked over by this Philistine woman. Notice. Chapter 14, verse. She entices him. I think it, 14:1, that can't be right. Okay, how about verse 17? We'll skip the first one. I wrote down the wrong verse. Oh, verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day, they couldn't figure this thing out. It said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. In other words, Samson, you just got into it. You've just entered into quite the problem here. This group of people is saying, look, entice your husband or we're going to burn your whole family. These are not the kind of people Samson should have been associating with. But remember, she pleaseth me. Then in verse 17, she wept before him 7 days. Hey, guys, it's true. Your wife, my wife, if they were to do this, we'd be like butter. Melted butter. She weeps before him 7 days. You know, what I'm saying is the power of a woman over a man is real. It's funny, but it's also true. That's why you got to be careful who you marry. Marry the right one that you don't mind having power over you, because guys, there's someday, if you marry the wrong one, you don't want that woman having power. But I love the power of the wife God's given me. And I mean that in a sense that my wife sees things I don't see. But that's not this lady for Samson at all. Notice it says here, verse number 17, she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted, and it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her. Because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. So she enticed him, she controlled him, she betrayed him. Let's see, is that what we're looking for in a wife? No. Is that what we're looking for in a friendship? No. But she pleaseth me. The thing is, Samson could not see beyond the hand in front of his face. He couldn't see this, but his dad could. Samson, this is not the woman for you. And I find this to be interesting. Samson could handle a lion with his bare hands, but he was no match for the power of this woman. And I don't know if you ever, I'm sure you caught this, but notice verse number 20. After all this happens, but Samson's wife was given to his companion. He didn't even get her anyway. He comes back and finds out, well, we gave her to your companion. She's not yours anymore. After all that, rebelling again, rebelling. I wrote this, lastly, Samson lost his temper. You see that in verses 19 and 20. In anger, Samson kills 30 men for their clothes. And then he doesn't even get his wife after all. And I wrote this down. Samson doesn't get what he thought he had to have. Samson doesn't get what he thought he had to have. She pleaseth me. Get her for me. Remember? Twice. And in the end, in one chapter, I don't know how much time is in here, but in one chapter, the wife is no longer his, now his companion. He doesn't get what he thought he had to have. You know what? The devil makes what God doesn't want us to have look so good. That's why he said, she pleaseth me. That was all about sight. You know what? I've really gleaned a lot from reading through these chapters once again. I've known this story, but it's amazing how you miss so much. And I'd like to read it again. Turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. The way Samson took to arrive at this point in his life could have been avoided had he followed the authority that God put in his life. God put Manoah in Samson's life and Manoah's wife, his mom. Had Samson followed, just think about what if. Isn't it interesting, or isn't it, I guess, a blessing that we can read about Samson tonight, as in it already happened? And shouldn't, when we read about Samson, it really highlight some things to us so that we don't make the mistake of Samson? As very simple to you teenagers and young and to you children tonight, that when your dad or your mom say, I don't think that's best for you, that you're willing to say, you know what, okay. Like the dad said, Samson, she's not good for you. And Samson said, get her for me. But maybe you're beyond that stage, which is most of us here tonight, but we have a spirit that lives in us, right? God's spirit. And God's spirit never leads us contrary to God's word. Correct? God's spirit never leads us against God's word, right? So when the spirit is leading you or leading me, and we say, I have a different plan. That's not going to end well. Look what it says in Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, be ye not as the horse or as the mule. Now, I didn't say this. This is God's word. Which have no understanding. Whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. He says, don't be like a donkey. Don't be like a mule. Don't be like a horse who have to be, they have to have that bit put in their mouth to be led. He says, no, I will show thee where to go. I will instruct thee, verse 8. I will instruct thee. I will teach thee. Why? Because many sorrows, verse 10, shall be to the wicked. We reap, we sow. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. When we follow God's will, when we are instructed and taught by God, and we're led by the Lord, hey, there's joy there. But we all know, I can raise my hand, I'll raise both of them. When I go against what God wants me to do, there's no joy. There's sorrow. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Praise God, he forgives. Praise God, he forgives. We're not taking that out of the picture. But we're saying, I believe the psalmist is saying here, is don't, and I found this quote, Samson was either impetuously rushing ahead like the horse or stubbornly holding back like the mule, and God had to deal with him. We can get ahead of God, or we have to be pulled as well. That was a quote. I didn't even I don't know who said it. I didn't write that down. I'm sorry. But it wasn't for me. But just thinking about this verse of Scripture, let's not be like Samson in the sense of, get it for me. I want it. She pleases me. Samson's life is marked by great victories, no question about it, but it's also marked by greater failures. Probably the strongest man physically that we might look at in the Bible, yet he was also the weakest. Dedicated to God before his birth, but Samson was dedicated to himself until the day of his death. Weaknesses overcame all the strengths in Samson's life. Here's the last statement. It would seem that the root cause could be traced to Samson's unwillingness to give up his own way. Hey, the best thing you and I could do tonight, wherever you are in your Christian life, is be willing to give up your way. This pleases me. I like this. But is it God's will? It may not be what Samson was struggling with, but it might be something else. This looks good. It's got to be right. Maybe, maybe not. Better talk to the Lord about it. Pray about it. This job looks like it's the one. Okay, maybe. This situation, I want to go this way. All right, let's pray about it. A willingness to yield to the Lord will bring a lot more joy and a lot less sorrow.